Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
First of all, I'm coming at you with a complaint because you left my house last night at almost 11 p.m. and I said, text me when you get home, and you never did.
I know. Do you know why?
Why?
Well, first I had to stop at the gas station because I was out of gas. Then.
Oh, God, at that hour?
Yeah. And then as I was pumping it and I was looking around at all the creatures, you know, skittering about.
Yeah.
Living their best lives.
So many creatures. Yeah.
And I was like, God, I used to be out like this. You know, this is interesting. And then as I was pumping my petrol, Melissa Rausch called me because she always calls me on our drive homes to get more content, to get more connection.
Yeah.
Then we get into it. We talk until 1 a.m. On the phone.
My God.
I don't go to bed till 1:30. I don't know
what
we were up to.
I was also up that late. I was energized.
We were vibrating. I mean.
And I had been up at 5 a.m. because I had to shoot yesterday morning. So I was like, yeah. So deep divers, Jessica and I want to say co-host.
We did. I answered the door with you with a glass of wine, and I lit the candles
last night. Yeah, you did.
We filmed it, just so everybody knows. We did a story.
Don't worry, we're going to be releasing some content. I got to get the footage together. I'm going to try to cut it into a nice little package.
Yeah.
About how we put together our dinner party last night. Rule number one: don't cook.
Easiest dinner. And most delicious dinner ever. You got a selection of these delicious tacos. A lot of vegetarian options.
A couple chicken options. I don't eat meat, but I was like, I don't know. Although the chicken didn't move. And that was a note for next time. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start. I learned this from Casey Wilson. She's constantly got in her notes on her Apple phone just a running list of things to remember for next time. Like if we go away together. To a hotel, she's copping down the room, certain restaurants.
See,
like,
this is
don't want to sit there at 6 p.m. because the sun's setting and it's right in your eyes.
That's very ADHD of her.
I seems love like it, about
it would
her.
Be. It seems like notes that would be somebody party. Who's so like you know anal, like writing down these
no,
notes.
It's but like opposite,
she's no. This is the thing that I'm learning. She's whatever you're passionate about, you go deeper. You have to understand you go deeper. She's passionate about hosting and travel. That is two of her biggest passions in life.
She's passionate about vacations and curating an itinerary for vacations. So I just wrote down, I'm going to take a note from her. Notes on dinner party with girlfriends. Don't get chicken tacos. They didn't move. So,
but also I wanted.
And I was debating. So I almost did Italian, Jessica. And I was like, I had this whole vision. And then I was like, you know what? I want it to be easier than that. I want it to be easier than that. I don't want to be cutting up a chicken parm. I don't want to be plating an eggplant parm. I want
to think wrapped in tin foil.
Little tacos. And there was a lovely salad.
It was just absolutely delicious.
Chips and guac. Mexican food is great because
Mexican,
it's got a built-in.
Indian. Anything that has like things you can just open the container, put it there and scoop it.
And also
or take it.
What I love about Mexican food, and we live in Los Angeles, you have to respect your geography. You know, it's like
great.
You can't decorate a home that's like with, you know, mid-century modern furniture, if you're in like a traditional colonial, like we have some of the best Mexican fucking food, flavors done right, people who are making this food, and it is so goddamn good.
Surprising.
And
you.
So, yeah. And so I'm like, let's respect where we live. You're going to get some great Mexican food in LA. So what I love about it though, is it's got a built in kind of appetizer. So you want to nosh on some great guacamole and chips?
It's because right there, the moment,
and that's also part of the meal.
Moment people get into your home, they should have food in their mouth and drinks in their hand. They've driven. It's a long day. It signals the start of a celebration. Now, just want to talk just briefly about our tablescape. This was a wild experience. So you set the table, you know, bare bones.
I told you earlier in the day, I'm going to have the table. I'm going to have the basic like plates out and stuff, and then we'll scape. But I didn't get to it, you know.
But it doesn't matter. So linen runner. Then you had those Crate and Barrel plates. I'm buying those immediately because those are just elegant, elegant, elegant.
And you had the simple white plates.
Thank you. The rattan circular placemat, which functions like a charger. But it's a placemat, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you have these beautiful blush-colored linen napkins. Now, then you pull out a couple hurricane glass, just basic. So simple. There's no adornment. Where did you get those? I would love links to all of it.
I'm going to be posting links. And I want everybody to know I didn't just have this. So I am learning again from our own podcast. We are both the teachers and students.
Yeah.
And
lifetime learners.
And so I didn't have, this was the debut of those placemats and the debut of those candles. So I just did a little Pinteresting and I was like, what do I need basics? And also I knew from Kulop, like I've seen Kulop's house. I've seen what her stockpile looks like of like, we got to pull from this and then we can have fun. So I did go ahead and purchase from Amazon.com and a couple of at West Elm, some candles, different sizes. And I had them ready. I mean, Jessica, you had to spend a lot of time pulling off the wrappers on them because this was their first time
and
out.
And I have to be honest, when I first looked at it, I go, well, this is basic. I don't know. I don't know what exactly is going to come of this. I was concerned because I've only escaped once. And that was with Kulop on FaceTime guiding me. It was like when Luke Skywalker has to go eventually, you know, ain't nobody fighting Luke. Darth Vader, except for him. He might have a look. He may have a voice that says use the force, but he doesn't have Obi-Wan like controlling the lightsaber. Yeah,
unfortunately, I don't know any of those references. So really don't know who's who in what situation, but I do believe you're right. What I found interesting about yesterday is you came to the scape with a very quiet confidence.
Because
I said, let's put the candles out. And you said, no, we're going to forage first. For a base layer.
So what Kulop told me, and this was via FaceTime, she's like, so you put out all the things you have. Then you clear the table so that it's a bare base. Runner. And then you know you got to start from the bottom. You got to put your foundation on your face first. So we were going to lay some greens
first.
Then we layer the candles. And then all I could remember is that you're going to want to go different heights and levels, but you're going to start highest in the center and then you're going to level out. And there's a lot of wabi-sabi that goes on. You don't want it to be perfect. So I had to push through the fear. I had to close my eyes and just start to make moves. Okay. Then we're outside foraging. And I'm like, I don't even know what to cut, but I'm just drawn. What am I organically drawn to? We started cutting these random flowers and I thought, well, God, they're all kind of like different. This is going to be a disaster. Then I just said, start throwing it down. So we put the flowers down, then we put the hurricanes down, and then the tea lights around it. God damn it, was it an elegant table. Took us no more than 10 minutes. And then you'd order these little name, these wooden. Well,
that, yeah, I'm going to be posting about that. $1 each.
And that signals to your guest, I care about you. This is special. This isn't just come over, which is totally fine too, okay? To come over and just like open the pizza box. But this was like, I care about you.
So I had a thought last night. So, and I'm going to be posting about it, Deep Divers, but there is an Etsy store where you could get people's personalized names. And we had done it for a Jane Club dinner, which is how I found out about it. But they are not that expensive. I mean, they were $1 each. And you could get your, you could get in beautiful cursive, these little wooden cutout name, like you could put your guest's name right on the plate. So I was so excited about this.
Yeah.
And last night I lost someone's name. I don't know where Danielle's name went.
Oh, meaning you tried to probably, I threw it in the garbage by accident. Blame it on me.
Oh,
that's a bummer because I know you wanted to reuse them for the.
I am going. So I lost Danielle
for a shower,
but yeah. I'm going to get a bunch more names of people I want to have over for dinner. So I have them at the ready.
God damn it! This is blowing my mind.
I have them at the ready. So I'm like, because I was like, wait, these aren't disposable. I want to reuse these, and then I'm like, yeah, they're still in great condition. Like, oh, now I'm just going to have the names of people that I want to bring into our home.
Why?
I know.
And you know what's nice about that too is that takes away the guesswork of where people are sitting. Because I was very intentional too, because we were really building this dinner around Melissa Rausch, who hasn't been able, because of work, has been able to come out. And I knew that little Polly Pocket doll likes to curl up like a little indoor cat on a couch because she has such short legs. That's why I put her on the bench next to me. She likes to be next to me. Oh, I put her next to me, curled up. I knew she's a little Polly Pocket. We had to put three people on a bench, and I thought, well, let's put Polly next to me because she's not going to take up any space.
And she didn't. She's just a slip of a thing. She couldn't be cuter.
She's a tiny little indoor cat.
Okay, so many things happened, Jess, and I mean, when I look back, the only thing that I don't think I was totally honest about and transparent about with you is you were a little too loosey-goosey for me as a host from the hour of 6 to 7. So
this is ADHD, friend. I was like, because I said to you.
Talk to me about like very emotional things. And I was like.
Yeah, while you were setting the table.
While I was like setting the table and you were like putting on lashes, wanted to shoot a video of you doing a tutorial. And I was like, our guests.
This is weird. Damn,
this is like we have a ticking time bomb here.
Like,
our guests are arriving.
At
6:50, you were shooting a video, and I was like, I need my phone back. You were shooting it on my phone. I was like, I need it back to adjust the lighting. This is my 10 minutes of now I'm a host lighting candles.
You turned the lights off on me while I was doing my first Instagram story about how to apply lashes. But that's what gets my motor running is, can I squeeze this last thing in?
Oh, I'm going to be totally honest. I don't like that about you.
Nobody does like that about me.
I don't like that about you.
Nobody does.
I don't like that.
It's like crazy. Like, that's where Dan is like, you what? You decided to do what right before we're supposed to leave for the airport? Like, I'm like, gotta put my lashes on.
I don't care for that. It was weird. You. And I'm not going to affirm it. I'm not going to say. I was like, I also had two children running about. And then I was like, I'm trying to get them. I got them while you were here sitting in this desk on a Zoom call. I got them. And not that you're responsible for taking care of my children, but like showered, dinner, because I wanted them upstairs watching TV when my guests arrived. But I'm like,
And then I was also undermining you because what you didn't realize was I was whispering to Gus, you know, it'd be funny, get that old creepy old man mask and come down and stand in the corner. And then you would say, I don't want to see the whites of your eyes, like get upstairs. And like the only reason you can come down is if, like somebody's hurt. And I was like, come down, scare mommy. And he was like, his eyes were like, which confused. Mommy do I listen to?
Of
crazy mommy or real mommy?
Well, I was also struggling with him because he wanted you to play pickleball with him.
I'm so obsessed with your boys. I love them and I want them to love me back.
They
I want them to love you, but fun.
I was like,
fun,
I'm
crazy,
with a
danger.
Lot of different needs and what I needed from you in that moment at 10-2. At 10-2, it's like when the stage manager comes out.
That's when I decide I need to like go to Dwayne
and
Reed.
Says 10 minutes and you look up and say to her, thank you, 10. It's like, thank you, 10. Say, like, we're 10 out. We're fucking 10 out right now. I'm adjusting levels. I'm fluffing.
You guys will see it
so
in the story that you
was
that
so
she turns the lights out on me and then she
so
steals
the thing.
So I have
to say, learn that about you and I didn't like it.
Yeah, no one does. I know I've not met one person that likes it. I've not met one. Casey would probably feel very comfortable in it and she wouldn't even notice it. But most people don't like it. And then also the part of the thing that's real nasty is that I said out loud, the thing I like the most is that you don't think I can do it. And so I'm going to show you that I can. That's the other
thing. No, but
like
this is what I want to just push back on. It's not that I don't think you can do your video. I know you can do your video. It's that what I don't think you can, I can't believe you're doing is putting me in this position.
Oh, I know.
Because yeah, you also have my phone. You're holding my phone hostage. Our lights and music are connected to that.
I know.
And you had already told me I had to turn off all my music, you know? The music is very important to me in the house.
And yet, ding dong, I open the door, fresh lashes, I've done the video.
Yeah, but I'm still in the kitchen and I'm harried and I haven't come down. So is that worth it to you? I learned a couple things about you last night. I learned that. I didn't like that. I also was stunned that you had never had a margarita.
Ever in my life. And I was like, what am I missing? Yeah, I never ever had a taste in a margarita ever in my life.
And when I asked you about it, because Paul Scheer, God bless him, he is
husband
a wonderful mixologist.
Husband of the year.
He is. And I said to him, you know, the girls are coming over tonight. Could you whip something up? And he was going to see a basketball game. And he said, I'm going to leave all of the directions. And he made fresh lime juice.
I love that
guy. Squeezed fresh limes, the agave out, Casamigos tequila, and the ice out. Told me how to do it.
The ice.
And those
out.
Were good margaritas.
They were delicious. I couldn't believe I lived my life.
Margarita. So then when you switched from wine to margarita, you said, you know, I've never had one before. And I said, why? And I believe your response was, I didn't think I could, or I didn't think I was someone who could have a margarita.
Yeah.
Not nearly enough time was spent on it. Then the ding dong, someone else is here, but
I just thought
need
that
to spend
wasn't
roughly
for me.
The next 40 minutes talking about why you had never had a margarita. You know, they're my favorite cocktail.
They're mine. They're everything.
Why though, Jess? Why?
That's just didn't seem like it was within my reach. As a person.
Let's talk about limiting beliefs, okay? Yeah. And because I do think you had a limiting belief that you are not someone who drinks margaritas.
Yeah, margaritas are for people who, you know, embrace leisure. Vacation, that there's an extra step, that there's salt on a rim. There are people that could let loose, that like a couple margaritas in, who knows?
You don't know what's going on. You don't know where the night's going.
Because there's sugar in it too. It's like sugar and alcohol together. Like God knows what's going to happen to me. I want to go too far on a margarita and see what happens.
You didn't drink much of it.
I didn't because, again,
I
was driving and I'm also like, I'm tiptoeing my way into this margarita world. But now I want to be like beachside, like let loose on a margarita and just see what goes down.
It's like so weird. I'm having a feeling and I was having it last night because I was watching your intake. I was creepily like staring at you. Like you were like my little like wifey seeing how much you were drinking. I really was.
Strange.
I had eyes on all the wine. I had eyes on the margarita. you know, but I want to loosen you up a little bit.
Yeah, I really,
I'm realizing that there is that sort of like
teetotaler in me. Yeah. You know, I didn't drink all through high school and college, not even at all. Like literally I would get a glass of beer so that at a party so I didn't look strange, but I would never sip it. And I never wanted to let loose or be out of control.
It's a control
ever,
thing.
Ever. I'm like, "Oh, you all can be on cocaine, I won't." Because I don't want to be out of control. And then because during the big C, I had to do so many drugs. I was like, oh, drugs are great. But like never done mushrooms, never done acid, never done coke, never done anything except for like a gummy. And even if I take more than half a gummy, I'm like, oh, no. But it's like so fun. And this is Dan will always say, like, this sounds crazy, but boy, you're more fun on drugs. You are fun on drugs. Because like someone who is such a control freak, taking a drug is fun to watch. You're fun. You're relaxed. You know. I think like my margarita self, this would be a great year to lean into that.
Oh, God, Jess.
But I'd love to be in Mexico doing it. I'd love to take this to another country.
I want to take you to a place where there's no driving involved. You're set. Like you're set. You're there. And then I'm going to be watching because I don't want any of this. I'm holding it to not look weird. I'm playing house. I'm pretending to be a person who drinks a margarita. I'm going to be watching you.
Okay. That's weird. Okay. Most times people watch people to say like, that's too much, honey. Like,
no,
slurring your words. That's too much. But you're like, drink up. I wish I could go back really and let loose in college way more. You're not going to.
Baby, this is the time, my friend. This is the time.
And you know, I'm finding out a lot of crazy stuff's going down for people in their 40s.
We talked about it last night. Some of the shadow work, some weird fucking shadowy. I mean, listen, I shared what I've just been a part of. Like some people are through some weird ass shit.
People,
okay, so don't
think up.
just because we're mommies, just because there's some really exploratory times are happening.
They are happening in the wildest of ways.
Yeah,
and so I'm like. Yeah, let's all get a little strange.
Yeah, maybe. Let's all
get a little strange. Let's go to a strange country and get strange and do strange things. Right? Yeah, get strange. That's like our new Let Us Live strange. For 2022 to 23.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's strange.
Let's be a little weird. Let's be a little out of control.
Yeah.
You know?
What do we have to lose?
Listen,
our self-respect, who cares?
Oh, God. Yeah, I have no attachment to that anymore. You know, it's so interesting just reflecting upon last night. And I do, God, I feel so grateful that my kids are at an age. I want to say this as well, where I could do last night. You know, for all of the parents who are like, ooh, what would I do if I didn't have a babysitter over? And could I have people over? And you've got small kids. Like, to be honest, I don't know. That might stress me out too much. But I'm now at an age where, you know, I mean, do they like me in bed with them to go to sleep? Both of them, yes. But and did one of them, you know, stage a protest on the couch in the den? Yes.
And then said what? That made me laugh so hard. I heard everything you said. I didn't know, first of all, when she says everything you said, I was telling the worst stories. So he heard my bedtime stories, which I tried to swallow the bad words.
I know.
But God knows what he heard.
My girl did reveal that he heard every word of what was said.
I didn't know he was in the den.
Yeah, I did. Now I closed the door, but it opened up a little bit. So, you know, but it's much easier when your kids are older. It just is.
And
so
again,
all of
important.
You have these tiny children like, hang on, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. Don't expect this. I don't know if I could have done something like this with my bandwidth and what I'm capable of. It was really nice to be like, oh, the kids can be here.
Yeah, but they also don't have to be the main event.
Like, no, well, they certainly weren't.
And that's nice. I remember, I do have fond memories of being up in my bed and listening to my parents' dinner parties. For some reason, they were always serving scallops.
Whoa.
That was in New Jersey in the 80s. You got to understand, whoa, my parents lived the 80s like nobody lived the 80s. My dad, businessman with a mustache, just killing it in the insurance game. My mother, fresh, looking just like fresh as shit with a pop collar. And, you know, just like a little too much blush. And there were always dinner parties involving scallops.
You have painted the clearest picture you possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but when, like, she was making those scallops.
Yeah, of course. And it's just fun, you know?
So, yeah, that's, and they would fun, go out. That also sounds exhausting to me.
Sure.
You know, again, don't make dinner. No.
But my mom was
food.
A homemaker. So she wasn't, that was her work. And she was great at it. But yeah, like, let our kids see us have fun. So
I
they will have
they
fun.
They are seeing us.
Well, now they certainly are.
Think that lesson has definitely,
yeah, mommy's going bye-bye again.
Yeah, I think they see that. Well, it was a great night, you know, what can I say? And then I just like to also call out that, yeah, I wasn't happy with your like 6 to 7 p.m. Yeah. work and sort of attitude toward timing. I would have liked a little bit more pep in your step, a little more hustle, a little
not
bit more.
Not going to take that on.
A little bit more like tick, tick, you know, tick tock goes that little clock. And I just didn't find it in you. And it was very distressing.
Dysregulating.
To see someone else have all the time in the world. It's like, once that doorbell rings, it's go time, baby. I don't want to be running around lighting candles and checking
the
bathroom to make sure that everything's like,
that's
I don't want to be doing
though.
That.
That's where it really gets my motor running. It's so, a race against time.
One other thing that I'd like to point out that I did that I'm proud of and I think was important was change of location.
I was just about to say that. That's where actually the conversation dropped in. And I was, because I was a little like, okay, you know, listen, we're all sharing some of our nastiest, you know, like things we've heard around town.
Yes, it was gossip.
Bring tidbits, you know, to each other. Like
great.
A cat would bring a dead mouse to the doorstep.
Yeah, the hens
what do we
clucking.
Give and receive, right? Mm-hmm. This was our. And then you said, let's change locales. Now, what I thought was so fascinating about it is we go into your living room that has all these comfortable seats, but we Everybody's all sat on the floor. Because we had to be closer to each other than the furniture allowed.
I do think that's the problem with that living room for a more intimate gathering.
There wasn't a problem because we sat
really?
On the floor and got cozy with
was
each other
okay?
and shared
I was just
blankets.
Stressing about that. And then I ran around getting blankets for everyone.
No, I actually loved
it too.
There was like a, you know, a very cozy, casual atmosphere to it. And then, of course, you put chocolate out, which is so important.
Oh, God, is it ever.
And that signals...
You must have a little nosh. And that signals we're going on a serotonin. We're going... Something needs to be activated within the coven, you know?
Yes.
And it was.
Yes, and it was.
And it was.
The other thing I wanted to point out about... Because, God, I got to tell you, a lot of the community is starting these pickleball days. Somebody just wrote me. They do a Sunday fun day pickleball dinner. They do it in the evening, which I love. Early evening, people come over and just go nuts in their driveway. But something that's for a girls' night that I think is really important because not all of our girlfriends are Monsters, Inc. Some of them are quite quiet and refined and elegant people.
Yeah, you'd be surprised to hear, I'm sure.
You have to give everyone a moment to shine and share. And the indoor cats of the world, they will let you talk forever, but it's you got to turn to them and say, tell us what's happening. Mm-hmm. So don't forget that they want to share too, but they need to be given the opportunity and the podium. And it's important that we all leave feeling like
space.
We've connected with every one of them.
Oh, God, it was. And I did.
Yeah, we heard of it. The other thing that was crazy is just, it was like wartime. I mean, I haven't seen some of my best friends the entire pandemic. That's been 2 years.
I know.
Even though we live with each other on Instagram and text, I was like, I haven't seen your face.
I know. And I was talking to Paul about this last night. I felt a sadness last night.
Oh, I almost started crying when I hugged Melissa. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, I started to think about COVID and where we are. And I just was thinking back to all the people who were alone in those hospital rooms. The people who died in hospital rooms without their families. And I want to say that because I feel like we're in a different position now with this pandemic and people were really moving through it and really moving beyond it. And that's beautiful and wonderful. And boy, am I embracing that. But that was really horrible.
What we all went through.
What people went through. And I think of, obviously, Jess, I know you feel this too, but like anybody who had someone in their lives, forget about even having COVID, who was just sick during that time, who they couldn't get comfort from in a scary time. It just, oh God, it just breaks my heart. It just really breaks my heart. So I can't imagine, you know, I know I've talked about my dad had so much, was in the hospital for so long and had so much care. And I can't imagine not being able to be there with him. So I just.
Yeah, people were sharing like a socially distanced.
Yeah.
Sometimes. They couldn't even touch you in the hospital. I mean, they couldn't touch you in the hospital.
No, they couldn't. Nurses and doctors couldn't comfort you. It was, it's just like, I think that I'd really dropped into that last night. And I was just like, Paul and I were just like holding that for,
It might have been why I was having trouble going to sleep and I had the craziest dreams. Cause I also felt like, and it was interesting right before we had our party, I did an hour with some girls who are in treatment or just post and talked about my experience. And what it ended up being weirdly was I talked most about the aftermath of being done with treatment because a lot of them were about to be done or they were done and feeling very lost and alone. And I talked about that when the fight or flight is done and leaves you, that's when the sadness rushes in. And I do feel like we are feeling that as a society.
Oh, Jess. Yes.
But there's no space for it, especially in American culture. We're just like, go, go, go.
Moving on. Totally. The layers of grief, you know, are so enormous and there are so many. And you know, I do think some of us are processing it through pickleball and all sorts of things.
Yes.
But then also, you know, it does feel like we need some kind of national mourning, kind of like day. Can we have a day where we sit down from work and think through what and hold on to each other? And
well, we were talking about ceremonies yesterday, and it's like we have a lack of ceremonies in our culture, I feel like, because we're so capitalist. But it's like the reason why we have funerals and Day of the Dead and all of that, because the boys were doing these beautiful Day of the Dead altars to your parents. And it was the cutest thing I've ever seen and the most special. Of course, I wanted to cry. But the reason why we do this is because it gives us a space to feel those feelings of sadness. And what last night felt a bit like was mothers and women coming together and sharing some real dark things that went down during the pandemic that they had never, some of us had never said out loud. And it was really important to hear it and picture it. Like, we also our friends are very good storytellers. And to picture these things that they went through. And it wasn't just us, what our children went through. And feel the sadness with them again. I think is really important. Because it was such a solitary, the pandemic was a solitary experience. We were deprived of each other. So we all went through our own private hell, but we couldn't bond because we couldn't see each other. So now we're bonding on the B side. But you got to ask somebody, what was that like? What is it like now for you?
Yeah. Yep. And I think you're so right about moving from surviving something and what comes in after that. I mean, you certainly know, but I was thinking all about it last night.
That we lost those 2 years too. It's like, it's crazy to me, but like, you can't get that time back. That's the hardest part, right? And I said, because a lot of the girls asked me last night, do you ever stop longing to be the self you were before this all happened? And I said, right afterwards, I was really angry. I was angry that it had been taken away from me, my innocence, that I couldn't get that person back. Like she didn't exist anymore. And now I said 6 years past, I like the person I am more than I liked her before. And I do feel like the pickleball self that I am now would not exist without the pandemic.
I do want to talk about an injury you're suffering from. Because you won't be there this Sunday. I'm worried about that.
Well, that's only because I'm also playing 4 hours in some sort of charity.
I forgot about that.
I might be there. I'm not saying I'm not going to be there.
Okay. I forgot about that. So I'm glad, actually.
I just have to see what kind of swelling goes down afterwards.
Totally. And I didn't, I don't know how to say this, but I received some feedback on your play after Sunday.
You're dropping
this. Is it safe space to share it?
Is it about my mental game falling apart?
No. It's very interesting.
Oh, no.
It's very interesting.
Oh, God. And please remember that yesterday I got some very tough career feedback. So, like, I'm a little...
I just want you to keep this in mind going into the tournament you're playing in on Saturday.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
This is directly from our consigliere.
Oh, God.
You know who that is.
Oh, she was really...
But she said, Jessica wants the glory shot too much.
Tough stuff to hear, but so true.
She said, you're going for the glory shots way too often.
Because they don't all go in.
That's right.
Slow and steady wins the race. You know, it's not dissimilar to the person who tries to do a lash tutorial 8 minutes before go time. It's like,
so I offer that and I share that not to bring you down, of course, but also because I thought it was interesting feedback. I think I suffer from that as well, to be quite honest.
You don't, but you're right. Okay. Thank you for that feedback. I appreciate that.
Okay. I hope it's received as I'm giving it, which
it is
with love and criticism.
I'm so glad we have the most special of guests today, our dear friend, Jessica Chaffin. She's really somebody who I'll take feedback from. I'll take it about my face. I'll take it about my outfits. I'll take it about my life. And as the character she plays, Rana, who I call Aunt Rana, boy, does she give good advice. Boy, does she tell it straight. So anyway, deep divers, we will be back with the most wonderful interview with Jessica Chaffin. Deep divers, welcome back. God, we have such a good interview with you.
And you've heard, our deep divers have heard a lot about our guests before.
We talk about you all the time.
I know.
I hope you understand that,
but
Chaffin.
We do.
We name check you almost,
her almost every episode.
It's so strange. I know you are a new mother, so I do not expect.
Is it the same story over and over again? That's what I want to know. Is it just the closet story
Nope.
over and over again?
No, it's actually we reference you as our consigliere to all things beauty, elegance, how to move through the world as a elegant woman who takes the ownership of herself in every way.
Oh, pre-pandemic.
No.
I'm just letting you know.
Deb, sorry. That's even...
The wheels have fallen quite far off the bus at this point.
They can't. Okay, Jessica Chaffin, one of my oldest friends, truly. She is the host of the podcast Ask Rana. We're going to get into it, where she plays a version of her dear mother, which is just the most realized character I've ever, literally, and ever will see in my entire life. I think of her as an actual person that lives in the world. It's so weird. I have a different relationship with Rana than I do with Jessica. It's odd.
I have a different relationship with Rana.
No, it's really weird, Jessica.
One of the strangest, but most... intense.
I believe in channeling also.
No, you are channeling. You are 1,000% channeling.
Yeah. Because when I'm Rana, I am smarter.
Boy, are you.
More put together. I always say my vocabulary is like 200, 250 words. Rana, it's something like, there's some sort of like RAM. I know you guys know what I'm talking about.
You're accessing.
When you're improvising.
You're accessing a RAM.
Like you're somehow, it's like you become a computer. Like you're in the present. But your brain is going through the filing cabinet in the back. And my filing cabinet is like exclusively my mother and her friends from everything I learned in college. That's somehow. And then what I read on the internet.
Because you're also, Jessica, kind of one of the smartest people I know.
True.
I don't know if
well-read,
I
know.
Well-read
you are.
But Rana is.
Yeah, well-read. Like there's not an article.
Haven't read a book in a year.
But which is shocking. And I want to talk to you about that. And I do, if you're willing, would love to talk about motherhood. But
listen, keep it tight, guys. We don't have that long and we need to get of Jessica's wisdom out to the people. Okay. I'm going to be very directive. She was a consulting producer, is a consulting producer on Hacks. She won a Golden Globe. She was nominated for an Emmy. She showed up on the red carpet in this gown that looked like she was a Grecian goddess. She knows, she introduced me to the Clé de Peau concealer. When I had no money, I slept in her walk-in closet on an aero bed with a hole in it for 3 months. She once gave
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. She once gave me pot that was expired and an aspirin from England that had codeine in it at the same time. And then, for her own amusement, took me out on the town to get ice cream. To see how I would behave. Chaffin took me out into the world. She took me into Los Angeles, into the depths, the belly. It was Hollywood Boulevard. Who does that to a friend?
A block and a half from our house. Because to me, taking a Nerfin Plus and then having a little bit of ice cream and then watching like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills basically sounds like the night of my life. So I was sort of like, why don't we go get a little ice cream? And then you'll come home and we'll watch TV. And at that time, it was probably like watching The British Office. Who even knows? It was so long ago. And
we watched
Sinclair was poorly behaved.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to hear it. Honestly, I'm thrilled to hear it, Jessica.
I do want to know what happened with these margaritas. Because last night I did something that I never normally do. But June Diane said to me a long time ago. I had a new baby. I have a 15-month-old baby who's absolutely beautiful in the light of my life.
Looks like she's a member of the royal family. That's how beautiful
she
and
is
British she
weird.
Looks.
Weird. She's full from a different
Gerber.
Time.
Yeah, she's
yeah,
like
curls.
She is a beautiful baby. I'm going to say it.
Debbers, what do you like the most about being a mom?
Ooh, la la.
Previously, I am a person who's a nurturing person, even though I'm a tough person. I am very like I like to take care of things and people and stuff like that. But I would say, honestly, like probably this comprehension of like the grandiosity of what love really is. Like that it's like that explosion of the totally unfettered, unfiltered, just like sending love towards something with very little expectation and having that be a pleasure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
It's well selfless. Played. There are very few things in life we love selflessly, not expecting anything in return, but the joy is in the giving.
Totally. And if you're a giver, it like I can see though how and I have great sympathy for this. Like I can see how parenthood it's first of all obviously ridiculously difficult, but how for some people it would just be so hard for them to like I have much more sympathy for people who have parents that aren't good parents. Mm-hmm. Or not for the people. Well, I mean, I obviously already had sympathy for the people that had bad parents, but I just mean I have more sympathy for the bad parents because I just think that there are people who can't
are not called to this
really do it. It's tough.
Yes, it is tough.
Yeah.
Well, I also think that you're someone who, and we've talked about this before, Jessica St. Clair. Like, there's a couple people in my life who I'm like, oh, if I really needed something. Like really, really needed something. Or
I hope you'd call me in a second. If you
I know that I
anything.
Could, and I know that
makes me so happy. Actually,
it's true. It's like I know that your advice would be so thoughtful. And honestly, even if I was like, I need 10 grand wired today, you might get a call from me, Chaffin. Like from the very little to the I'm in a situation and I need a lawyer, criminal attorney.
Yeah.
To arrive at my house.
That's right.
I do feel like Jessica Chaffin could get me one.
She can.
I would certainly try.
I know you would. That's what I'm saying. But that's not every person who you feel like, oh, I could call and they'd be there trying to help.
My mother was like that. I mean, 100% like every person, like the calls that would come into the house.
Really?
And I do think that is like... I feel like that's just like a way about me that I inherited from her. But it's funny because, and St. Clair and I were kind of talking about this on Rana the other day. She's on our Patreon from last week. And we were talking about what it means to be like a grown up and that people aren't really grown ups. They're kind of like most adults now are mostly teenagers, that they're adults, but they're not grown ups. And I don't know if I'm totally a grown up. It's like certainly something that I mean, look, we're all comedians or artists or whatever you call yourself. When I did become a mom, I was worried that it was going to affect my ability to be Rana, that it was going to start clouding my certainty. Because when you become a mom, especially in those first few months, that postpartum period is just like anything you were doing before. You can forget about it. And I was thinking about June and I had the same baby nurse. And I was thinking about this. And if June, you don't just say, you can cut that if you don't want it. But I was thinking about this the other day, which was just like when those people come into your house at that moment, they meet someone who really isn't you. Like in some ways, 100%. It's like your body is present and some part of your brain, but they come in and you're like, a wild banshee
who
you just become like a hyena whose job it is to defend its pup.
Yes.
And they come in and so then they have an opinion about you and you're like,
you don't even have time to care whether they do or don't.
But I was literally in my closet looking at my clothes that I have not worn in 2 years probably. And I was just like thinking about the woman who used to put these clothes on, you know, like, oh, well, I remember I wore that somewhere. You know what I mean? Like whatever, whoever that woman was. But it's so funny because I was then having the moment of like, oh, this is the woman that they met. They don't know that woman at all. Someday I will run into her on the street and I'll be like dressed and back to a human. And she'll be like, oh, okay. I guess you're this other person, you know, whatever it is. But
and I think especially if you don't have a mother who's alive. She's
which neither of us did.
Neither of us did. She's standing
so important.
In a very interesting way.
It makes me sort of sad that I mean, Lou will do whatever she does in her life. I don't know what she'll want or she won't want, but already I feel like, oh my God, being a grandmother would be the most incredible thing.
I can't wait.
Like I actually think almost more than being a mother, it must be the coolest thing in the world because you're just like, oh, I just get to enjoy this.
I know.
Yes.
And a baby is such a magical thing. Like for a baby to come into your life again at another time in your life, it's just like, could take your breath away, the thought of it. But also that you don't have to do any of the exhausting part of it. You just get to like buy shit and you know, watch it develop. But
I agree with you. It's something I definitely like mourn on behalf of my own mother, which is like, oh, fuck, this would have been such a great season for her.
That's what I was thinking, is that it takes my breath away that like, because I had Lou so late in life, I probably will not be a grandmother. And so, and that's like already... Oh,
Deb, I mean, you're going to live to your 125. That's she does. I honestly
hope not. And I will tell you, and I do wonder this. This is a very like personal question I have, or it's a personal thing to share. I wonder if when you guys had your kids, you were like, oh my, and Deb, this actually, Sinclair and I sometimes call each other Deb.
This is something that actually
happened to you. So maybe this is not where you want to go with this conversation and we don't have to. But I have this like deep fear that I won't even live through the next 2 years. Like that I'm like, oh my, it's all so precious and amazing. And I don't mean like, and it's fucking hard and holy shit. Like part of me is how will I survive because I'm so depleted. But part of it is I just have this fear that like I will not see this thing unfold.
I understand.
And now that I'm saying that out loud, I feel terrible for even bringing it up because that's pretty much what happened to you.
Well, no, but it was my North Star. It was what saved me. I will
see this thing unfold.
The moment they told me this is happening, something clicked in like I was the Terminator. And I was like, oh no, watch this. I will be here. And I'll never forget my surgical oncologist, Dr. Memzik, who you've met, Deb. She said to me, I promise you, she grabbed my hands and she said, I promise you, you will dance at your daughter's wedding. I will make sure of it.
I can't promise you'll like the guy.
Exactly.
Or the girl.
Or that you'll like the music.
But you'll pretend you do and you'll dance.
Yeah, and you'll dance.
That's awesome.
And that became the filter through which I passed every single decision. And that is why I went so fast. I got my double mastectomy faster probably than anybody had ever gotten it. Because she was like, now it takes a couple weeks. I was like, well, do it tomorrow. Who do you want to have it do it? Let's do it. She's like, well, you got to hire a plastic surgeon. I go, okay, she's good. Do it. Get it out. And so, yes, it was horrible, but that's what guided me. And I've never felt such primal need to be alive. Yeah. And that also doesn't, listen, I've had friends who are mothers who have passed. And I know that that has been so hard. I have also watched those mothers set their children up for success in life before they pass.
Oh, I have like a total fear now of like, I'm like, why would I put myself in a car? I do it, but I have those moments where I'm like, why would we go to this place when we could just be at home making sure everyone's alive? Wow.
Being alive together.
Like, I don't
sitting
know why we would go
being alive.
A car. I'll never forget the first ride home from the hospital where I like the whole idea of being in a car completely changed. Wow. Like, and I was like, oh, like you're like, this guy's coming up on the right. And you're like, he's driving.
Totally.
But guys, yes. But I will say this. So we were talking earlier about like our pre, you know, I was talking about the cancer when I was talking to, like, they said, are you going to stop? Am I ever going to stop wanting to be the self I was before? And I said, there will be sadness for a minute and maybe 6 months for the grieving the person you were before who was walking around the world like not realizing you could die. And then you'll realize 3 years out, oh God, I'm so glad I have that awareness. And so, yes, with motherhood, it's similar. You will never be that person you were before. You have this thing you love so much. And you're right. If you're a great mother, you don't really worry about missing them. It's them missing you. That's selfless love.
Guys, I get it. I'm a narcissist. I
hear no, but you,
you're a great brother.
If.
Well, the conversation opened with me saying,
that's true.
I won't get to see this movie.
That's true. That's true. No, but I know you know what you, you started by saying the thing you love the most about being a mother is how selflessly you give love to them. So I do think like, yes, that is something we just have to grapple with. Like we are aware of the fragility of life and nobody told me parent and motherhood is so sad. That like watching that moment, them go older is so sad and you can't get it back and your heart's going to explode every minute. That's just who we are now.
That moment for me also, June, I'm sure you can relate to this though, was the also the day that my mother called me and was like, hey, have you got a minute to talk? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh,
yeah.
And that was a day that like I'll never forget. Getting that call. She was like, call me when you get home.
No, no.
And, you know, because I was in the car and it was just like the 11 minutes it took me to get from like home, you know, like in the car to home. It was just like, oh, life's never going to be the same. Whatever this isn't good. And that also totally, there's like a definite delineation of before and after in,
And in that's
who
trauma.
I was.
What's so interesting about also these moments, these is like you, when you know your parent and you just heard, I'm sure you heard that first word and you know their tone of voice.
Oh.
And there's completely. And there's like,
from the high. Like, she was like,
from
hi.
The high. Yeah.
And I was like, oh God.
Yep. Yep. But you know, it's also, I do think, you know, when people talk about like trauma and grief, there is something I'm grateful for that I never had that moment with my mom. I did have it with my dad, which was like, oh, I also saw my dad's body fall apart though, which was a living grief.
Horrible.
A horrible. You know, and
it's why you love Halloween, June.
I love the macabre. I actually
no, it's like
don't
controlled
love Halloween,
horror.
Okay, so I what
but
I will
your
say,
kids love Halloween. I think Halloween. I will say
Halloween.
I love Halloween, and Ronna loves Halloween. But I only love Halloween, cute Halloween. I don't love
Hocus Pocus.
I'm not working on my costume. I'm not. I have never even seen Hocus Pocus, which people find alarming.
I find that so upsetting. I find that so upsetting, and
I'm also from there.
It's like you starred in Hocus Pocus. You're in the movie.
It's about you.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Understand what you mean?
You choreographed those. Yes,
I mean,
of course you are. You're Kathy. If I put Kathy and Jimmy, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Bette Midler into one person, that is who you are. And Bruce,
I'm actually afraid. Well, for sure, Bruce Blanchard, who I went
like
for,
seeing yourself
who I went for, like, for as so for Halloween perfect. 2 years in a row. You
I
know
remember.
That, Sinclair.
Yes, I do.
2 years
that.
In a row, I went as Bruce Blanchard for Halloween and was wondering why I didn't get laid either year.
God damn it. That was a good costume, though, from Hollywood.
Well, let me
Squares.
Say something about Halloween. What I will say is that after losing my mom, I actually did start to really enjoy horror as a genre.
What?
I will never
that release
on the 1 year anniversary of my mother's death. She only got for a year. I barely even accepted that it happened. I was still in a state of shock. I went with Amy Aronowitz, God bless her, and one of my girlfriends from home. And we went to go, I think with my sister and Paul, see that movie, The Strangers.
Don't want to hear about it.
Where those people, I think
No.
People just show up at a house.
Okay, that's enough.
And they knock out
that's
on
enough,
the door
that's enough,
outside.
That's enough,
and they're
that's
like,
enough.
We're here. Let us in. And these other people are.
Gulp.
And everybody looks
no,
so fucking normal. They're like, we don't know you.
Hard
they're
pass.
Like, let us in.
No, stop, please.
Okay, it was so
not interested.
I screamed my little head off. And it was the best release I could have had in that moment. It was like I needed to be with horror. And then I started to really appreciate the genre. I was like, oh, here I thought this was tapping into like our terrible instincts as humans. Little did I know, it's comforting to be able to experience
like,
horror.
Go all the way through it.
All the way through it in a controlled environment. It was healing.
The horror thing is interesting because there's so many people who have experienced some kind of trauma or, and we talk about this, you guys do too, on your show all the time. And on our show, like so many of the letters are these things that, these re-traumatizing moments that people, you know, like that there's some significant event or neglect or whatever it is. It's this, you know, like there's like five kinds of letters and that people are just trying their best to navigate these things in their own unique, authentic experience in their life. And to get to some place of like, I would say comfort and stability even more than happiness. Cause
absolutely,
I think as you get older, it's nice to be happy, but we've just spent the last 45 minutes talking about how like at some point, like life will drive a train through your living room. And so hopefully the rest of the foundation is like
secure
equipped enough to handle it, you know, and that you've, and that you are enjoying, to me, enjoying life is like being comfortable, feeling like safe and eating something delicious and seeing something beautiful and like now spending time with my child. But like whatever I thought I needed to have, it's not that I am not still like ambitious or want things or whatever it is. It's just like whatever I thought the feeling of happiness was, is such a like, such a ideal of your sort of 20s and 30s. Like not to say that there's no romance in life. Of course, that's part of it. But just meaning like whatever that attachment was to like a lightning bolt or whatever these things are. It's like, that's all very nice, but that's like a phase.
It's so true. I mean, honestly, I would consider my sense of happiness being like what happened yesterday, which was you stopping by with your child.
It was honestly the best
to drop by. Also a friend tucked away in my office that I knew was there and close by, having my people stopping by or with me.
Well, Deb, you leave a little something in everybody's life that you...
God, ain't that the truth?
That you cross. You've left me so many little somethings and we love you so much and thank you for sharing. You're a beautiful person, a beautiful mother, a phenomenal comedian, and you don't like to be complimented.
I know.
They should understand that I do live in a dumpster, that my life is an existence. I don't mean my house is a dumpster. I just mean my life is like,
I'm like
a monster crawling out of a dumpster wearing a Loro Piana hat.
That's right. Thank you. That's all that needs to be said. Deb, I love you so much.
And
thank you.
I just will say this. The last thing about Jessica Chaffin is you've also really led, I feel like you've led a group of women behind you. Like we really look to you. We really.
Oh my God.
Into womanhood.
Adulthood. When you talk about like adulthood, you've been that adult for many years. And so, you know, it's appreciated. You know, really.
I think you've all got the wrong idea about me, but I do appreciate it. I think Rana has led you into adulthood.
Probably.
It's a hard, those lines are blurred. Yeah. Those lines are blurred. Yeah.
I do think if Rana met me, she would just be like, oh, come on. My mother once, this is like, your audience is not going to enjoy this and it's old fashioned, but my mother once put her hand on my stomach when I was like, this is going to chill you to your core when I tell you this. You can cut it if it's not like, you know. She just put her hand on my stomach. She goes, that's not a good idea.
Oh, God.
And I do have these moments now where I'm like, oh, my God, if she could see me now. My mother had six children. She would be like, you can't be serious.
We're digging ourselves out.
Like you have one child. You cannot be serious.
That's why, you know, they can only come through signs. Thank God.
Anyway, I love you guys so much. Thank you for having me. And Jess, thanks for coming on the show the other day. And June is coming up on Ask Rana in a few weeks. So people have to look forward to that.
Where can they find you?
It's going to be
from Rana or don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. So listen to my podcast.
I wish I could have the experience of experiencing Rana.
Me too. For the first time.
It's Ask Rana with Rana and Brian, with Brian Safi, who we adore and who is incredible in every medium that he chooses to Midas touch. But yes, so it's wherever you get your podcasts, Ask Rana on Instagram. we have a fabulous social club that we've been doing where we send people a, do you know this, June? A cocktail box. Once a month, we send out
a
beautifully curated cocktail box.
I got your Negroni and it was delicious.
The Negrana, that's the Negrana. But this is that we do a specific, Paul would love it actually. I'm going to send it to Paul.
I was going to send it to Paul. All right.
I'll send it to you guys, but I mean,
for a gift.
He'll enjoy it.
I love it.
I'll send it to you guys. But anyway, they can do that arsocial.club.
Thank you so much. And we love you, Jessica. We'll talk to you soon. Mwah.
Love you, honey.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. Deep, can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.